This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I think one part of me hating this song is I hate Bette Davis aesthetic.
Pinup style?
Yes.
Ah, I once took nudes in that style.
Of course.
That's my only familiarity
with
it.
Were you in rural America doing something for your husband's 40th?
It's the only time I've ever taken nudes in my life. And for some reason, I was like, this is the vibe.
You were sending them to the troops, weren't you?
Just mass sending to all of the troops. Troops@gmail.com. Punch it!
It's time for Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hi, and welcome to Punch Up the Jam. My name is Miel Bredow, and I'll be your Sherpa of jams here on the Jam Slam, making the dance grand. I really do want to try to talk slower for at least one episode.
That's how my ASMR artist starts all of her videos.
Hi, and welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
She goes like this. She goes, hey, it's me. And then she goes like this, ASMN, ASMR, darling.
P-U-T-J, darling.
Yeah, wow.
I have to give you a real introduction. Hang on.
Goosebumps.
Thank you.
You know him as a stand-up comic just on The Late Late Show with James Corden, or maybe from The Comedy Cellar. It's Andy Hayes.
Yeah. Such a good song.
Thank you for coming on, Andy.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Are you surprised it took me this long to ask you?
No. I have imposter syndrome, so I'm always like, of course, I've not been asked to do something.
Brief background. Let's see where to begin. We're both from the Northwest.
Yes.
You were a camp counselor on the island where I'm from.
It was like a mind-blown situation, because I'd already knew you digitally.
Yes.
And then you were like, I'm from the Northwest. And I was like, oh, where? Like Woodinville? And then you were like, no, this island you wouldn't know. And
why the shade at Woodinville? Woodinville's fine.
It's fine.
Okay, fine.
But you know what I mean.
I do.
And then you were from my favorite place on earth.
Orcas Island, baby.
Yeah.
And you know the camp where my parakeet flew and landed on a girl's head.
Yeah, I was probably there.
That would have been wild, huh? That's our first connection. You met my parakeet when I was 8.
And we had that was like probably a highlight of last year was that night hike.
Oh yeah, we did a night hike because we were both on orcas at the same time. That was nice. I just remember, I think how many times did I say looking at the sky and going, Andy, God really went off when he did that.
He's crazy for this one.
Yo, he's wild for this one. And then of course, am I remembering this correctly? Do we have the same birthday? That's not true.
7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
How do I forget it every year?
No, I vaguely remembered that being also a coincidence, and I couldn't believe that that could be true. That's too many things.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Well, thank you for finally coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Why Bette Davis Eyes?
It's just a song. There's a couple songs out there that like I'll fall on my petard for.
What's that word mean?
Is it batard or batard?
It's the bread?
It's not a, what's it called? The end of a gun.
That's pointy side.
The
oops.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The oops.
Uh-huh. Bayonet.
Yes.
Oh,
I
got
it. A French word. It's like, I think it's batard or putard. And there's a term meaning like, I'll fall on it because like, I'll always die on this hill.
Uh-huh.
I'll die on that hill. There's not a lot of hills in New York, but if I find one, I'll fucking die on it, dude.
And you'll die for Bette Davis Eyes?
No, I'll die defending my disgust of it.
Oh, right. You hate this song.
I hate this song.
Okay. We haven't had a hater in a while. I'm excited about this.
And I don't hate a lot of music.
Mm.
I mean, I hate like a lot of bad music.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably hate a lot of music that people love, you know, like cool people that know good things.
You're looking at me pretty intensely, so am I to infer you think I'm cool?
Yes.
Great. Cool. Thank you so much.
And, the people that, like, understand music at a, you know, higher level than I do.
Oh, I'm not sure I'd put myself in that category, but thank you. I appreciate the faith.
But this song got played on a road trip, like, with an ex, and she loved the song, and I was very open. I tried to get ahead of it.
So just so you know, I do hate this song, but we can make it work.
Yes! Fuck yeah.
I've been there. I've dated people who have, I mean, I don't think you can say objective, but in this case, actually objectively terrible taste in music.
Of course.
It is a big hill to overcome. I was just checking my emails the other day from middle school, I mean, and I found an email from my friend Jessica saying my taste in music was destroying my friendships.
Really?
Because I was too gung-ho about what I liked.
Well, but you also come from a musical family.
This is true.
You come from the Carpenters.
Please,
right?
Don't tell on me. Please don't tell everyone that I'm Karen Carpenter, yeah. Jr.
Karen Carpenter Jr.
They really couldn't think of another name.
Yeah, Karen Carpenter Jr. the third.
So I have a couple things to say about the song before we discuss the actual song.
Is it Kim Carnes? Is that how you say her name?
I meant to look that up. I guess so.
Let's call her Kim Carnes.
Kim Carnes.
We hate her song.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I need to listen to it again. Also, listening while we're on that subject. I don't know if people can hear that. I think I need to mention it in case you can. There's two men sawing outside.
They're not just sawing. They're sawing stone.
They have like an actual saw and rocks, a pile of rocks.
It's like comical. It's everything in my life is sawing right now. My entire existence is saws.
You're having
a
SARS week.
Yeah.
I get it. We've all been there.
That's if you get SARS in Boston, it's SARS.
Ah, you got SARS, man.
You got SARS, you wicked.
So the coolest thing about this song right at the top, it's a cover.
Whoa.
Can you believe? It's a cover of her name. Jackie DeShannon.
Already liked it more.
Her hair is hollow gold.
So much better
her
already.
Lips are sweet surprise.
It's like honky tonk? What is
her
this?
Her hands are never cold.
It's good.
She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you.
But you know what's weird? It's a cover, but it sounds like new music.
Yeah, well, they massively reinvented it. That synth lick is not in that at all. They wrote that for the song, the session player, the keyboardist, I want to say.
What year is that?
So the original is recorded in 1974 by, again, Jackie DeShannon. And then in 1981, Kim Carnes and her band are like, let's cover this song that never really popped off that hard. See what we can do with it. The keyboardist's name is Bill Cuomo. He came up with the signature synth riff using Prophet 5.
Did he come from the long heir, the long line of, is he an heir to the political dynasty, the Cuomo family?
Oh, I, or, man, meant to Google it. Totally forgot. What a bummer. The song, however, once released in 1981, absolutely popped off, became one of the biggest hits that year. I think it was the second biggest hit behind Physical by Olivia Newton-John. I think Physical held the number one spot for 10 weeks. Betty Davis Eyes held it for 9 weeks. Non-consecutively, there was a small gap. It also won the Grammy Awards for Song of the Year and Record of the Year. And it was a number one hit in 21 other countries as well.
Ugh.
It's crazy, right? Especially considering I don't feel like this song comes up very often in modern day. The only time I've really heard it is in The Final Girls, that movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, the iconic thing about this song, other than that synth riff, is the vocal performance. It is extremely raspy. I'll get to that in a second. I want to say that this was recorded all in one take.
Yeah.
I am hard pressed to think of a song past 1980 that is recorded with zero overdubs. That's truly insane. I don't know why they chose to do that. I guess they spent a few days rehearsing. I'm also not clear if that's just the vocals in one take or if it's the entire performance is one take. Probably just the vocals if I had to guess. But last thing I'll say is for my patron, Jenny Calotta. This song was one of my favorites when I was a kid, and I have memories of playing the 7-inch single on my Fisher-Price record player. I was 4 or 5 at that time, and I guess I couldn't read very well because I only just realized when I opened this post that this is not Rod Stewart singing this song.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's any argument to be made about the rasp, that comment came up over and over again in my research.
I think that there's been multiple times I've heard the song and been like, love Rod Stewart.
Let's get into the goddamn song.
Here we go.
It sounds so sick.
Establishing shot, like John Hughes film.
That synth part I could do without.
Her hair is hollow gold. Her lips sweet surprise.
Ugh. Ugh. That's, I mean, this is going to be an ongoing theme. Her, like, continue, like... modification of like a long vowel, you know, where she's like,
sweet surprise.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. It's what bothers me the most. And there's going to be a climactic part of it where she does it. And
I do know what you're saying. There is.
What would you call that? Fluctuate.
I mean, she's just like, she's putting a little spin on the pronunciation, the accent. I get it, but.
She's like a Crystalia of. Singer-songwriters.
Yeah, kind of. For me, it's I'm more thrown personally by that secondary synth part. Beep,
beep, beep, beep, yeah, that beep, sucks. Beep.
It sucks so bad.
The first part's great. I was kind of like, every time this song starts, I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah, like, listen to this. Like, Stranger Things could only dream of a texture like this.
I see, like, high school, like, summer high school, like, school's about to end. It's a John Hughes film.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's
like,
exactly
they're
the era.
Doing all the establishing.
It feels really good. And then that synth comes in, and I'm like, ah, what? Who wrote this? This was clearly a first draft move.
Boop, 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 boop.
Like, listen to that note it's hitting. Oi.
I like to think they got a sessions guy in that day and he was like, I got something. And they were just like, oh,
just
shit.
Roll tape on this. I mean, again, it is one take. I'm not sure if that's the band as well. But then when she starts singing, yeah, there's also the four on the floor drum beat.
Her hair is hollow gold. Her lips sweet surprise.
Which I feel like isn't serving that synth part as much as it could be. That synth part is so cool.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it feels kind of pedestrian to me. The vocal performance, I like the tone of her voice, but I do know what you mean by the way she's saying that. And also, let's say what she's actually saying. Her hair is Harlow Gold. I had to Google this. Jean Harlow.
Okay.
Who was an actress and sex symbol of the 30s. Not Betty Davis. We're just throwing in an extra actress for fun. She was known for her blonde hair.
So it's like eating like cheese and being like, wow, it tastes like other cheese.
You know what would make this cheese better? Different cheese.
Different cheese. This cheddar really reminds me of a sharp.
Also, if you're going to reference like the hair of a blonde actress from the 1930s, wouldn't it be Marilyn Monroe? Am I cuckoo?
No, you're completely right.
Her lips. Actually, there's no verb in that sentence. Her lips. Sweet surprise.
Her lips. Sweet surprise.
What? She has lips. Sweet.
Surprise. Sweet. And then everybody's
surprise!
There for your birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the inflection was wrong, but that is what she meant. Okay, now what else? This like mystery woman she's describing. I'm so curious. Let's move on.
Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to think twice.
It's like the talking. The talking is an interesting choice.
Also, she gets really quick. She got to Betty Davis size pretty quick. What is it? Third line? Fourth line?
Fourth line. The end of the first stanza. Her hands are never cold. So this bitch got good circulation, brag.
Or she's a mutant.
Or she's generous. Probably the actual reading.
Why are her hands always never cold? I mean, that just seems weird.
Yeah, you got that hot hand disease.
She's got...
She's got hot hand disease.
Please add that to
That's
the song.
The punch-up.
Yeah, please say that she has...
Like, if you're generous, you got warm
This is a
hands.
Song about an X-Men. That's what the song is about. Hands that are never cold.
If you have warm hands, I don't know if I trust you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm capable.
And then what's the next line?
She'll turn her music on you.
So she'll turn her music on you.
Uh-huh.
This is an X-Men. She has a superpower. She can take notes that are energy.
And turn it at you?
Yeah, she turns them on you.
Or she's like, I'm trying so hard to actually understand what maybe is meant here, and I'm not sure it's tracking. She'll... turn her music on you, like she'll get you into the songs she likes, like your ex tried to do with you in this song.
Yes.
Okay, let's say that's right.
That's what this is. It's a pyramid scheme of bad music. where somebody tries to push bad music on you via this song.
Oh, I'm so glad we cracked it, exposing this pyramid scheme once and for all.
Thank you.
Stop the Bette Davis eyes where they belong, in the grave, alongside Bette Davis, rip.
This is actually the next Indiana Jones movie. Is
he tries the crystal skull and then the Bette Davis eyes.
The Bette Davis eyes. He tries to stop this song.
You won't have to think twice. I'm so happy they said that because I've been thinking her inflection and her cadence here is reminding me a lot of Bob Dylan. She'll turn the music on.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You won't have to think twice.
She is doing a bad Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
What does it mean you won't have to think twice? Like she is
She'll
like,
hypnotize you quickly.
Oh, I thought it meant like she was like, let's go to bed. And then you were like, who's this weird woman with warm hands?
You know that stereotype when women are like, let's fuck. And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about this. It could be that. It also could be that like she's such a catch that you're instantly in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really clear on.
Sounds
if
like
this...
love addiction.
Oh, someone's been to slog, huh?
Slog.
Slog.
It's just a slog. So, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. Great.
In my mind, there was also a W in there. I won't apologize. I can't tell if they're saying that this woman's great or pure evil. So far, these are pretty. I mean, it could go either way.
It's very ominous.
It is, right?
Yeah.
There's something very cryptic about these lyrics. And I'm like, you love this lady or you fucking hate this lady? Because the music's pretty peppy. But then there's that like synthy thing happening that's a little disarming. Let's see what else she has to say.
She's pure as New York snow. She got Bette Davis eyes.
Wait, New York snow?
Mm-hmm.
Pure as... I hope she's talking upstate.
It's unclear to me whether or not she means like Catskill snow,
yeah.
Hudson snow,
uh-huh.
Or if she's
Utica.
Utica, of course, how could we
forget? Finger Lakes.
Finger Lakes.
Ithaca. Syracuse.
Keep going. But then also maybe saying deliberately that she's dirty, as in New York City snow, which is notoriously dirty.
So she's pure as in like a tramp. Like a tramp is pure of heart.
I don't know if you're allowed to say tramp in 2020, but brave to
what
try.
What do you think I mean by tramp?
Dog?
Well, that's, I mean, obviously.
A male dog.
The collective. I think a tramp was an old term for a hobo.
No, I mean, let's see. She gets too hungry for dinner at 8. She loves the theater, but doesn't come late. She never bothers with people she hates. That's why she's a tramp. And then again, she's got Bette Davis eyes. Okay, you know, considering you're giving me some pretty cryptic details here, I don't know that I needed the same one twice.
Yeah.
I get it. She's got big eyes, blue eyes.
Yeah, I don't think like that's another thing that's bothered me. I don't know a Bette Davis eye. I don't think anybody does.
Maybe it's like a makeup look, like a smoky eye.
Oh,
you want the Bette Davis eye? It's like a cut crease.
We should go to like an old folks home and see if a man just staring like Robert De Niro's character from the end of The Irishman.
I for sure saw that.
Can describe a Bette Davis.
Okay, look, I'm showing. Look at the. That's what her eyes look like.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
This picture especially is extremely haunting. I mean, to be fair, I'm not sure I can comment on these because I think I might have Bette Davis eyes.
Let me look.
They're like really big and blue.
No, not quite.
Okay. I'll take that as a compliment because this is just frightening. I mean, I think she's obviously stunning. If you just separate the eyes, I don't know what we're saying. I don't know what anyone's saying. Kim, come on the pod. I need an answer.
What if it was, oh my God, what if it was she's got Bette Davis's eyes?
Oh, she stole them.
She stole.
National treasure.
Yeah. She has a pair of eyes in a jar. Or,
this is
I don't
that
know.
Scene from Silence of the Lambs. Go look in my storage unit. See what you find.
Yeah,
Bette Davis's eyes. But she's still alive. This is Minority Report.
Oh my God. This is National Treasure. There is a secret code in this. We have to get to the bottom of this.
By the end of the song, guys, we're going to crack the code and find once and for all where Bette Davis's eyes are hidden in the great country of America.
America.
Now we get to, I guess, the chorus.
And she'll tease you. She'll unease you.
The bass.
All the better just to please you. She's precocious. And she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush.
Wait, what? Wait, what? What does she make?
Let's just go from the top. She'll tease you.
Cool.
So she's in a negging. She'll unease you. Again, negging. All the better just to please you.
So she's read The Secret or the game. She read the game.
Or Little Red Riding Hood. All the better to see you with. Oh. It's like, what's happening? Okay. Maybe you're intimidated by her.
Well, she's the big bad wolf and she's taken Bette Davis's eyes. Yes.
That's okay. The follow-up story no one ever read to Little Red Riding Hood.
Jesus.
She's precocious.
But she...
She knows this.
Yeah.
She's Which aware.
Is, yeah, self-awareness is good.
Also, quick sidebar. Precocious, I'm feeling like, is gendered, right?
Yeah.
Ever hear someone call a man precocious?
Me.
Oh, people call you precocious?
Yeah, back when I was like a little...
You seem to be in your mid-30s, but you vibe more like 70. You're so precocious.
70?
I don't know. How does age work when you're this age?
We're all just, you know, on a slippery slope.
Hurtling towards the grave. And she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush.
Wait, she knows what it takes to make a professional...
Something.
Non-blusher blush.
Well, Jackie DeShannon did not say that. Jackie DeShannon said to make a crow blush.
No.
Which I guess is a colloquialism to mean you have a certain charm or you can unease anybody.
So,
crow is notoriously difficult to charm, I guess.
Oh, but
to blush.
So they, because a crow
black.
Has feathers,
right.
Which are black.
They're so smart.
And there's no blood circulation in feathers. So
yeah.
It would be like.
They don't have blood.
Yeah.
They don't Birds don't, famously don't have blood.
And so this bloodless bird.
When
so
it gets
woman,
blushed, you really are
she knows
effective.
That she's so she is so self-aware of her own precociousness that she's like, I'll make a crow blush.
Right. But then Kim was like, psych pro.
Wow.
We're going to make a professional something. Forgot the lyric. Blush.
Oh, and it's one take.
It's one take.
So she's not going back.
She's not going back. She either was going to say crow, which we'll keep a pin in this because I think the final time she does say crow, which leads me to believe she inadvertently said pro.
Do you think somebody was on the other side of the glass like,
crow, it's crow. You're nailing this, but it's crow. Don't get freaked out. Or she just was like, nah, I want to say like a professional, again, non-blusher.
Kim's got drunk vibes to me, too.
I think it's the switching from singing to talking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like how Dylan was always kind of fucked up in the 70s.
Right, until the motorcycle accident changed everything, of course.
Yeah. What? It's bothering me because there's like no... So first of all, she's brought up Harlow hair way back. First thing.
First actress named.
And then, so the whole thing's Bette Davis's eyes.
Yeah.
But now she's got what of
Greta Garbo's standoff size, which I do think the word should be standoffish. Standoffish?
Was Greta Garbo stand?
Okay, so according to the Genius page, because again, I have seen one movie from before 1980, Greta Garbo was a Swedish actress. Her most famous line was, I want to be alone in the movie Grand Hotel, which I think this may be a sound clip of.
I want to be alone.
That's not even standoffish. She's pleading.
Genius says the speaker is saying that the girl whom they are speaking of wants to be alone sometimes. I don't know that that's true, Genius, but I appreciate
your
attempt. What
a great summation, Genius. Way to get in there.
I'm just, again, sidebar.
I'm verified on Genius. I'm going to go in and edit this.
That's what I want to know. Who's like, I'm going to elect to spend my free time annotating songs on Genius for no one in particular. For me, I guess. This podcast. Thank you.
This is like a mom in Malibu somehow has Genius.
I think it's a kid that wants to like is starting to understand the concept of power and is wanting to try it out.
This whole song or just Genius?
Genius.
Okay.
But actually, this song could be about a kid. They did describe her as precocious. And I think that word is usually reserved for people under 30.
Okay. So, but I mean, she says the Greta Garbo thing. And then what is she? Well, here's
also
what
embarrassing. Greta Gerwig.
Yeah. Come on. Get with the times. But what my issue with it is she just is throwing out Greta Garbo, but she doesn't like, there's no other, but like, you know, you'd say Greta Garbo, Marilyn Monroe.
You want her to name more people.
Rule of threes.
There may be someone else. No, I don't think there is. I think that's all the women we get in this song. Yeah. Greta Garbo, Jean Harlow and Bette Davis. Let's actually take a quick break before we resume the second half of this song. Hey, it's me. I forgot the rest of it.
Hey, it's me, P-U-T-J. Darling.
M-I-E-L for P-U-T-J. Let's get into verse 2 with me and my guest, Ende Hyenas.
She'll let you take her home.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that. That
whets her appetite.
She whets her appetite.
She'll lay you on the throne. She got Bette Davis.
So she's a succubus.
Yeah, she's a murderer.
She'll let you take her home. It whets her appetite. She'll lay you on the throne. She got Bette Davis eyes. One of these things is not like the other.
So Bette...
she's Patrick Bateman.
Yeah.
With Bette Davis's eyes.
Also, it's so hard to lay on a throne.
Oof. Ow. Ouchie. My scoliosis says no thank you.
She's laying you on a throne. She's going to eat you. She's going to suck your blood.
I do it.
This is Scarlett Johansson in Under the Skin.
Thank you for bringing up that movie. I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Not too many people saw it. I meant to say, let me try that again.
Not too many people saw it.
Not enough people saw it.
Okay.
That's such a different sentence. Not too many people saw it.
Just criticizing it. I love that movie. People didn't like it.
No, it's so stunning. I felt like Stranger Things was such an obvious rip from it, which, by the way, I think this song is in Stranger Things, so weird that keeps coming up. And also, I felt like Annihilation was a little derivative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, see Under the Skin. But yes, it does sound like someone who maybe steals something from you, or she just loves fucking so much that it whets her appetite. She's insatiably horny, baby, with those Bette Davis eyes.
I think the Bette Davis eyes, she keeps on bringing it up because in this song, she's like narrating that you look at her eyes and you lose all control. Right?
Oh, I like that read. She's a succubus.
She's like...
Medusa.
She'll let you take her home. She's about to eat you. She's going to lay you in an uncomfortable chair that's not meant for laying. Wait, I'm going to object. Nope. Bette Davis eyes.
Bette Davis eyes. Or safe word. Bette Davis eyes. Sorry. That hurt a little. Bette Davis eyes. I don't know what the fuck this song is about. It's driving me insane. I'm trying so hard to hold it together because I'm trying to seem cool and chill on this episode, but it's not working. It's just like... You're giving me a random list. Every sentence has seemingly nothing to do with the previous one, and the entire anchor is the Bette Davis eyes. It honestly got me feeling like I'm in a dystopian reality right now.
Yeah.
This is the song that plays in the Black Mirror universe, where you're just living the same day every day. Nothing seems connected to itself.
And every time you want to object... They're just
she's
like,
got Bette Davis.
I forgot everything again.
Okay, the next line I think maybe is my favorite. Are you ready?
Yes.
She'll take a tumble on you, roll you like you were dice, until you come out blue. She's got Bette Davis eyes.
Okay, I feel like... They were definitely talking about fucking, okay? And I'm sorry to swear.
No,
I swear that it's a Monday.
No, it's fine. Let's get him in. Come. All right, go for it.
All right. Come. I can't say it.
The path has been paved. You're welcome to swear.
So she'll throw you?
She'll
or the first one, she'll throw it.
Cool. I'm chill. I'm a cool lady. She'll take a tumble on you.
So that means that part of their kink is that you're laying in a throne.
She does gymnastics on your body.
Wow.
Tumbles on you. Quick warm-ups, quick handspring.
It's funny how that's definitely like an old school, like 50s thing where they would talk about like, she'll treat you like a, you know, she'll treat you like a dirty rug, you know? You know what I mean? Like,
you're describing my exact kink.
They'll talk about sex stuff like it's like.
My Hinge profile. I just want someone to treat me like a dirty rug.
I just want somebody to take me out on a banister and hit me with a broom.
I want crumbs poured all over me from 40 different meals.
Yeah. I want to be vacuumed with a Dyson.
None of this is annotated on Genius. We're on our own here. She'll take a tumble on you, roll you like you were dice.
So she's tumbling on you, picks you up,
tosses
you into the corner.
She's
hoping,
like, try a somersault, motherfucker.
I'm going to try not to take this literally. Let's pretend that I have a modicum of intelligence and I can understand lyrics, not literally. Ooh, yeah, I took a creative writing class. Here we go. She'll take a tumble on you. So she'll take sex. Yeah, oh, it could be sex. I was thinking like she takes a chance. Like she's willing to tumble with you through this complicated tumbleweed of love.
Okay.
She'll roll with you through the plains of the desert.
And since we're on a rolling theme.
So you'll roll around like dice with her. Or maybe another metaphor we could use is like in the washing machine. You're blah, 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 blah.
She's also going to take a chance.
She's tumbling. You're tumbling. You're tumbling. And you're going to come out blue. Why? Because
her hands were never cold.
She's too warm.
She's too warm. And you know how you always turn blue. And
Because you're gasping for air. You tumbled for too long. Fucking. It's got to be fucking.
Oh, it's got to be fucking.
It's got to be fucking. Otherwise, I don't understand how this metaphor makes any sense. Again, it could be literally. She might roll around on you until you die.
Yeah. She's a succubus.
She's a succubus. And then you roll around and then you're dead and you're blue. Okay, I don't know. I'm out. My brain's starting to crumble. It's okay.
It's destroying everything.
I want to say one more thing.
Is that the last stanza?
No. Oh, okay. We have two more sections.
We're just going to be bleeding out of our ears by the end of this.
Am I? Can you see?
A little.
It's happening. I took songwriting classes when I first moved to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And they all essentially said that the purpose of a chorus in a conventional pop song and one that's like crafted and not necessarily from the heart.
Yeah.
Which I don't think this is meant to kind of be the thesis, the central thesis of the song, right? With more specifically honing in on the title.
Yeah.
This obviously does not apply to a ton of music, but a song like this, I think exactly, tell me in the chorus what you're saying. She's irresistible, she's beautiful, she's hot, she's scary, she's intimidating, she's independent. Like, what is your core thesis? Was my one teacher used to say, if you could insert the line before the chorus, and that's why I said, ba-da-da, right?
Yeah.
The chorus here is effectively more verses. They never give us an ounce of clarity. This whole song is just a laundry list anchored only by the Bette Davis eyes.
It's all about Bette Davis eyes.
Did Bette Davis herself even know? Was the letter she sent saying, hey, what the fuck is that song about?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What are you saying about me?
What are you trying to say about my eyes?
She's just like, oh, thank you. My grandson finally loves me.
She'll expose you when she snows you.
Okay, that's new. She'll expose you? Okay, so this is all... She's a succubus
She's a CIA operative that's going deep undercover.
And then she's going to reveal that you've been working for...
She's going to snow you!
The FSB, which is the new KGB.
That's why... listen, this is...
And she'll snow you because she's pure as snow.
What is snow you? Is that an expression I'm unfamiliar with? To snow somebody? I'm going to snow you, man.
Is it not on... Is that not annotated?
Genius says... The original by Jackie DeShannon is, she'll expose you when she blows you off your feet with the crumbs that she throws you. So I think that Jackie DeShannon must have been playing with the holding the line length there. So it sounds like she's giving you a blowjob and then following up with off your feet. And maybe that, oh my God.
I get blows you off your feet, but then what's with these crumbs?
Well,
she's
throwing you crumbs. So she's not giving you a lot, right?
Yeah. I think that this is to make this song, it's like, because it's the national treasure, it's the, we're going to find out where Bette, but if you try to break it down just like from a logical point of view.
No, it's the riddles meant to be processed as one.
What's a riddle that makes you crazy? Because that's
any
what
riddle?
This is.
Oh,
okay,
all
cool.
Riddles.
Yeah, okay, riddles.
Right, riddles and mind games in general, got it.
Yes.
So our version, thank you, Kim, she'll expose you when she snows you, off your feet with the crumbs she throws you.
Oh, my God.
You know, when you snow somebody, maybe this is about...
Do you think she's talking about the sexual act?
What is that, a sex term? What is snowing?
I don't want to go into it, but...
I'm asking.
No, it's not good.
What is snowing somebody?
Snowballing?
I'll bleep it if I don't like it. What is it? Tell me. You have
it
to tell me.
It involves a woman giving...
Head.
A job to completion.
Okay, and then on her face?
Nope.
Where?
It's in her mouth.
Yeah.
And then she puts it back in the man's mouth.
Oh, my friend does that.
Is it Bette Davis eyes?
She's got Bette Davis eyes.
Oh, okay.
That's actually true.
I'm gonna be saying that for the rest of today.
So she'll expose you, as in, like, she'll... Oh, this is getting profane.
She's got Betty Davis eyes.
Don't trust her. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She's going to spit her back in your mouth.
Oh, it's going to be like It Follows, where it's just like somebody's like, you're going to be like walking around a house and then your friend, you know, like is possessed. You go, ah, she's got Betty Davis eyes. And you have to run into another room. It's too late.
The thing is, Betty Davis's eyes are so pretty. I feel like this is a terrible euphemism. I think it has to be a CIA operative's like code red. Get me out of here.
Oh, my God.
Betty Davis eyes.
What if this was like a song that the CIA produced as like they have to get a message into Russia? And so it has to become big in the U.S. So big that they like put it, you know, it yeah. plays national.
They had to make a hit.
They had to make a hit.
They paid off the radio stations.
There was some guy that had been like a mole in like, you know, the center.
Yes.
The center in Irkutsk.
Classic,
you know?
Center mole.
And then he's like sitting there working in his like olive shop, you know, like that's, they have one olive. That's the all they have there.
Yeah.
And they're not even
Russia.
Jars. They're cans.
Ooh, and, that's so much bleaker.
Just canned olives. And the option is you can have olive oil or salted brine. And and then just a car passes and it's like, she's got Betty Dave. And then he just fucking
Betty Davis eyes.
We got to go. We've got to move.
We have to extract. That feels like a CIA word. Snow. I mean, yeah, when she snows you, it does kind of sound like Snowden. Maybe they called
yes.
it. Maybe they knew. Maybe they knew more than they let on. And then
Betty
the rest
Davis
of this
Jr.
chorus. Ugh, I hate this.
Deep with the crumb she throws you. She's ferocious.
No.
No, that is so awful.
I've got to listen to it again. Ferocious. That sounds a little bit like a cartoon.
She's ferocious.
Ferocious.
She sounds like she's selling cereal.
She's ferocious. You know what that reminds me of? It kind of like Adam Sandler. I don't. Yeah.
She's ferocious.
She's ferocious. And she knows just what it takes to make it pro blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got.
Whoa!
She's a spy!
She's a fucking. We figured it out. Are you
I
kidding?
I didn't even know that was in here.
All the boys think she's a fucking spy?
She is a spy! That's why this is so cryptic. This was written by the CIA about a spy, and it was so obvious they had to say that line.
Also, that has to be the worst couple lines of music to make a pro blush. Was anybody. Was anybody like. Kim, this makes
no.
absolute zero. She's drunk. Kim's drunk. This is a CIA plant.
To me, this sounds like at the end of tour, just desperately trying to scrape through the last couple shows after like a 90 show run. I don't know why on earth they were like, hey, we should practice nonstop for 5 days. And at the end of it, record to vinyl. Okay, I heard Betty Davis that last time.
I did too. She's drunk.
And also, she could not sound more like a bad Bob Dylan if she tried on that line.
I know.
Oh, the boys think she's a spy.
Yeah.
She's got Betty Davis.
And I want you to know that I had to hear this song a lot on a drive from Seattle to Yellowstone National Park.
Oh.
Do you know how long that drive is? 16 hours. Oh. Something like that.
Oh, brother. I don't envy you at all. I don't envy you one little bit. You know what I would like? The instrumental version of this song.
Yes.
Without that secondary synth part. I want that first synth, that Prophet 5 sound.
Yeah.
And then those drums are okay. The bass is okay. But really, it's that. Ooh, I love that. What was that guy's name? Vicky? I'm so fucking bad with names. I don't know why I keep guessing. Let's call him Garf.
Yeah,
he
Garf.
Shredded that synth. Now I have the rest of the song as 1 minute and 33 seconds because I don't know.
That's how much is left?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But it's kind of all the same. And we get no real more information. It's the same chorus lyrics and then.
That's also a bad part of the song is she just, it's that thing that they did where she's stuck in a loop now.
Well, I think she said the thing she wasn't supposed to say. All the boys think she's a spy. And now she's just so panicked. She's repeating the old words.
Yeah, there's just a
spiraling.
Even though it hasn't been released to the public, there's a very angry man, like a senator.
He was like, no, 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 no. Come on. You're blowing it. What's
she
it
knows
called?
That she's going to be killed.
You've been exposed.
Yeah. Extracted.
Oh my God. They even said she'll expose you.
Oh my God. Why isn't anybody, these sheep?
Wake up! Okay, here's the last minute and 33 seconds. Raise your hand if you want me to stop.
Fine.
I love the guitar.
Sounds like a Tom Petty.
That palm muting is awesome. Oh, this is kind of cool, chord change.
And she'll tease you, she'll unease you, all the better just to please you. She's precocious,
and
she knows just what it takes to make it.
And this is where everybody rush. Thinks she's...
You hear it that time?
Yeah, she said crow.
She said crow. Now she said pro again. My mistake.
She did say pro.
She said pro. She said pro.
Boys, she's a spy.
She's a spy. She is a spy. They don't think she's a spy.
They know she's a spy. That, okay. That,
for my snakes.
That was some fucking, this is a spy anthem for people who speak parcel tongue. Listen to that. I hate this part. What? What is happening? Do you hear this? Listen.
She'll tease you. She'll unease you. Just to please you. She's got better.
Who is this for?
Besides.
We get it. Ooh, that major resolve.
She'll expose you when she snows you.
Edward
Fade
Snowden.
Out. Edward Snowden.
She knows ya. She's got better.
When she says no, it's like she sounds exactly like Rod Stewart. That's where the Rod Stewart part is. Oh my
what?
God.
I don't remember that part. That sounds like the transmission got cut off short.
Wait, what was that?
It's either an ocean taking us out to sea or the transmission getting cut. I think this is a CIA song.
Yeah, I think it's a... Do you remember that there's like that sound, if you hear it, you'll die?
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
The brown sound?
Yeah, the brown
no,
sound.
No, that doesn't make you die. That makes you shit your pants.
No, there's another one, though. That's like a... It's like a... There's like a song... There was a whole podcast about it. Where it's like this ancient, like...
It's God's voice?
It's like something where you'll die. Like, it's like summoning a demon, basically. It's like a frequency.
Oh.
And that's what that was. It's the Bette Davis eyes frequency.
I didn't think we were going to uncover a giant multinational scandal.
I'm telling you, the 80s were crazy.
I'm having a hard time seeing how it's about anything else.
I'm having a hard time seeing.
Everything's gone black.
Yeah.
Well, let me see what the weatherman, Grammy Award winning musician, arranger, composer Rob Moose has to say about this song that now I suddenly feel very guilty for making him analyze.
I don't think I've ever heard this song before, but since it was the biggest hit of 1981 and I was born in 1982, it's entirely possible that I was conceived to this song, which is really fucked up. Okay, Bette Davis Eyes. It's a really interesting track, and I've been trying to think about what might have made it so successful. And I think there's something to the contrasts that are contained within this recording that make each element seem more powerful. For instance, we have this really icy synthesizer texture, which is so predominant. It's expressive, but it's still a synth, so there's kind of a struggle between machine and heart. At the top of the track, we have a shaker, but once the voice comes in, the drummer starts playing a very simple and authoritative 4 on the floor, which is very warm and kind of a literal heartbeat and a great contrast to the synth. I was reading about earlier versions of the song being more overtly R&B or quote-unquote beer barrel polka. And I think it's kind of interesting that we have this very soulful, kind of bluesy voice coming in over a synth texture with a 4 on the floor. And it's sort of like the disparate elements all get to shine in their own way. I do want to point out one little detail of the song, which is interesting. Before each chorus, there's a 2-bar pattern. It's a little kind of walk down to the dominant one chord. This instrumental moment, it kind of functions as a pre-chorus. In fact, after the second chorus, when maybe they don't quite know what to do or decided not to write a bridge, we just get that again and go right back in to chorus number three. I mean, if I'm honest, the song kind of lacks a section and it sort of limps over the 3 minute mark, and then it sort of looks back on itself and reprises some of its little notions from verse one. So a mega hit, but maybe not a masterwork.
I love Rob. I think he kind of nailed it, right?
Yeah.
This is like exactly accurate. I love too that he's like having to analyze this song. I wonder if he regrets agreeing to this yet.
I'm sure. No.
I'm sure. Anyways.
Definitely.
I'm not sure that perfect. I don't know. How does one improve this song? There's a billion directions.
Well, you could take out a lot of the unnecessary synth and drum machine noises.
Yeah, pare it down. That's definitely an option. I think lyrically, I mean, my instinct would be like, oh, just do more traits from different people. But I just did that. I don't want to do that again. So part of me is like, should we explore? I don't know how you write a CIA song.
Oh, yeah.
But is there something there?
Like a coded song.
Well, we'll see what I did. I'll put it in right here.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere,
the Bette Davis Eyes with the spy element, just a teeny tiny little baby bit more obvious. Just a teeny little bit more obvious.
Her hair is hollow gold, 3, 6 degrees, 5. Her hands point 9 minutes north. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll turn the bluebird at 2. You'll have to compromise. She's pure as New York snow. She's got Bette Davis eyes. And she'll bluebird.
I said bluebird.
Bravo, Lima, Uber. She's precocious. And she knows just what it takes
to make a pro blush. She knows.
She's got Red Fox trots at midnight. She's got Bette Davis.
Let you, my wife and I have 2 tickets to Hamilton. The show starts at 9. She just loves Lin-Manuel Miranda.
She'll lay you on her throne. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll expose you. She'll expose you. Off your feet with the grubs. She'll expose you. She'll expose you. And she knows just what it takes to expose you. All the boys think I'm a spy. She's got Bette Davis eyes.
Bette Davis eyes. Bette Davis eyes.
Bravo. Echo. Tango. Tango. Echo.
Davis eyes, not Gina.
3, 6 degrees, 5. 9 or mid north. Bette Davis eyes. It's just a song. It's just a normal song.
That was great.
That was great.
I can't believe you can just keep doing this.
Can you believe it? Every week I write a song.
And
who
make
am
a song.
I? Speaking of fucking, join the Patreon if you haven't already. That would be so awesome. Sorry. What? Your turn. A punchable jabs.
You can't punch this.
I feel like this is the most vulnerable part of the podcast for me.
It is.
Because I feel a little bit like I'm going to like be a basic bitch here.
Ooh.
So I kind of like tried to like dig deep.
Uh-huh.
One of the songs that I think that's unpunchable is Fire on the Mountain by the Grateful Dead.
Fire, fire on the mountain. Fire, fire on the mountain.
think it's my favorite Grateful Dead song. I'm not like a Deadhead guy, but I love the Grateful Dead.
But you're not a Deadhead. Listen, well, you're a Deadhead.
I have seen Jerry twice.
So you are a Deadhead.
Well, you know, I don't.
You're not precocious and you don't know this.
Yeah, I'm completely sober and I have Betty Davis eyes.
So no, not a Deadhead. Just love the Grateful Dead and have seen them on tour.
Well, I was 12.
So a Deadhead from Jump Street.
But I was like a child smoking weed. So anything would have. I was literally
okay,
a child.
Okay, we get it. You could stop bragging.
You get it. You know what it's like.
I do.
To be exposed. By
I'll
Betty Davis
you,
eyes.
Yeah. And then I'll snow you.
I gotta keep on getting snowed by this warm hand, bitch. She'll never let me be.
I'm choosing an instrumental song.
Okay.
I'm choosing Lady Fingers by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Relaxing and nice and calm.
I just want to kiss the woman I love with a mouthful of sand while I hear that. Just an entire mouthful of sand.
It really...
Like we're snowballing each other, but it's sand.
Yeah, it makes you want to throw sand in Betty Davis's eyes.
That's the only way you can get away from her.
No shade to Betty Davis. We are only talking about the, of course, eyes that are under the tomb in the Statue of Liberty.
It's not even Betty Davis eyes, pure code.
Andy, thank you so much for bringing this insane song to my attention.
Thank you.
And for being willing to talk about this, surely descending into madness for the last hour and some change. What do you want to promote? Where should people check you out?
I would love it if your listeners in the Bay Area came to see me at the San Francisco Punchline, April 15th through 18th. I'm going to be recording an album.
Are you like doing a whole slew of shows?
I'm doing a whole slew of shows, but that's a weekend. So it'll be 3 or 4 days in a row. And then if you want to listen to my podcast, it's not always funny. It's more like gets a little too sincere. I actually hate it. I have a big problem with being earnest.
That's but why you're Andy.
It's called Be Best.
Be Best.
Mm-hmm.
I will be best.
You should be best. You should be on it.
Okay. I don't want to be sincere ever.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
You're right. But thank you for the invite.
Okay.
And thank you for listening. Check out Punch Up the Jam for a sweet pic of me and Andy on everything. Okay, bye!
Bye!
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.